Good morning. You're listening to At Issue. I'm your host, Tom DiPietro, substituting yet again for Victor Mendolia. And today, At Issue, here in the lovely city of Hudson and Columbia and Greene counties, we're talking about a program that has been set in motion for students at 364 Warren Street, a project that involves not only the city of Hudson, but the Berkshire Free Union School District, which we'll soon learn about, and even the Galvin Foundation. For the first half of the show, we're going to talk to Bruce Potter, who is representing the Berkshire Free Union School District. And the second half, we'll have, and he'll just introduce us to what the program exactly is, so there's no misunderstanding as we go forth in this somewhat controversial issue involving the region. The second half of the show, we'll have two local politicians who will talk, will speak to the actual placement of this experimental program. Is it fair to call it experimental, Bruce?
I would call it a pilot.
It's a pilot. Okay, so let's get to our first guest, Bruce Potter. Bruce, can you tell us your exact title?
I am the superintendent of Berkshire Union Free School District, and thank you very much for having me here.
Oh,
today,
you're welcome.
Tom. To begin with the inspiration of where this came from, Superintendents Suttmeyer of Hudson City School District and Kate Farrell of Catskills Central School District and I are participating in a steering committee that is a tri-county partnership involving the Questar 3 BOCES. The partnership is organized to improve graduation rates for students with disabilities, and how do we leverage existing resources within the counties. As an aside, after one of the steering committee meetings, the other superintendents and I began a conversation about how can we not only improve graduation rates for special education students, but the other students mm-hmm. within our districts that are struggling.
Before you go on, Bruce, let me ask you, can you give a real thumbnail sketch? Now, the Berkshire Free Free Union School District is a special district. There's a term for what
yes.
kind of district that is.
Berkshire Union Free School District is a special act school district in New York State. We're a public school that it was a special act of the New York State Legislature back in 1964 to serve the students at the residential treatment center at Berkshire Farm.
Berkshire Farm, which is in Canaan, just
correct.
To make clear to those who are confused
yes.
by the term Berkshire. Canaan, which happens still to be in the Berkshire Mountains, but not in Massachusetts.
No, it's in Columbia County.
Okay. And that, excuse me, and the farms have a long history. The Burnhams apparently founded the farm.
Yes.
Anybody can read
yep.
about this online.
Yep.
So I just want to give that background so we know what we're talking about with this district. It's not a conventional district. It's a special district through an act of the state set up for treatment of students with various types of disabilities.
A variety of needs, issues. As a school district, we serve two distinct populations. Students that are referred by the county, that can mm-hmm. be foster care, adjudicated youth. It could be a variety of needs need to be met that were referred by a local county throughout New York State. And the other distinct population we serve is students that are referred to Berkshire Farm Center, the Twombly Leadership Academy. It's a residential program specific for students who are referred by the Committee on Special Education. So those students are referred by their home school districts.
This is a nonprofit organization, of course, and
Berkshire Farm is a nonprofit organization, and we are a New York State public school.
Public school.
Yeah.
So, and at the residential school in Canaan, how many students are there?
The license capacity is 130.
Oh.
Currently today, I believe we have about 107.
Okay. So that's pretty much where the programs sort of generate from, the experiences there.
Only for part of the
only
students,
okay.
and I'll explain. As I mentioned before, the other two superintendents and myself are part of a steering
mm-hmm.
committee working on leveraging existing resources, partnering with the counties, going after competitive grants.
Columbia, Greene, and Rensselaer
yes.
counties.
Yeah, I apologize.
That's right.
Questar 3 serves the Rensselaer, Columbia, and Greene.
Questar 3, for those who don't know, is really just a fancier name for our local BOCES program.
Correct. And Berkshire, Hudson, and Catskill are all component school districts. There's 23 total, and we happen to be three of them. The other two superintendents and I were sitting on participating in this steering committee and this initiative. And after one of the meetings, we began discussing what can we do now? What can we do right away prior to any grants being awarded or submitted? How can we impact the kids, not only special education? Unfortunately, special education students graduated only a rate of 45%, and worse yet, less than 5% of those are considered college and career ready. So that was the focus that brought everyone together. But we started having separate conversations about what can we do now to leverage existing resources to impact the other students at risk, because the graduation rates for poverty and minority are also very, very low. Poverty, I believe, is 63% graduation rate statewide, and minority is in the high 50s. So,
and as you probably know, here in Hudson, minority graduation rate is 39%.
Is it? Okay.
It's really low. This year is the latest.
I understand.
Now, before we go on, Bruce, what's your background in education?
Oh, I've been in public education for 19 years. I'm a certified business teacher. I've had 8 years experience teaching business at Boston Spa High School. I was also a department chairperson, a varsity coach, a dean of students. I then held two positions in the Stillwater Central School District, assistant principal and high school principal. And I've been at Berkshire almost 9 years, first as assistant superintendent, and I'm entering my third year as superintendent.
So you would then, in a way, be the your superintendency would oversee this program that we're going to talk about.
Correct. This is a program that Berkshire is applying for. And I'll give some background. I mentioned previously how Berkshire is a special act of the New York State mm-hmm. Legislature. Well, we needed to amend that special act in order to open up any type of educational services off our property. Yes.
And you already have off-premises, off-property programs, right?
Actually, the Berkshire Farm does. Currently, the school does not. So that's the one distinction. Even though they are our partner, we're you know, married at the hip, Berkshire Farm has programs statewide. In-home and in-school prevention programs.
Group homes,
foster care, in-home foster care.
I noticed, for example, I was just looking around on the website, and there was a job available in Hudson for some kind of advisor, and I assume that was where does that person function already in Hudson?
Well, Hudson is home to one of Berkshire's community offices. Berkshire has community offices in Long Island, Hudson, Schenectady.
I guess I'm asking then is, what is that community office? How does that community office function already here? Is it just one person in an office?
Oh, no, it's a variety of personnel. They're most of whom are known as family specialists.
So they are. How do they identify student problems through this local school?
It all depends on the contracts that they hold. They do a lot of work with the counties. So I'm certain Columbia County would have be working with them on specific contracts. Some may be school-based. Some may not. It all depends.
And that's all financed through the state? Or, I mean, for example, that – I guess what a lot of local concern was how when an outside entity like this comes in, who's paying?
Okay, well, actually, we're sort of talking about two separate things.
Okay.
The county would be contracting Berkshire Farm for those preventative services.
I see.
And it has absolutely nothing to do with...
that's a county decision.
It has nothing to do with this project.
With this project, okay.
We would like to partner with the county if it's determined, and we don't even know yet, if it's determined that any of these students that would be... attending this program, if they have those needs or if their family does, we would certainly want to make sure they receive those services. But we haven't identified any of that yet. So where the partnership was really formed with Superintendent Zuckmeyer and Farrell and myself.
Who is the superintendent of the Catskill
Central School District, yes. Is having the conversation of back to the to refer to who Berkshire Union Free School District is and who we serve. Mm-hmm. We serve a residential population that can be referred by the county or the local committee on special education, which is the home district. But we also serve students who are referred by the local committee on special education in our local region. Those students are bused in. They do not live at Berkshire Farm Center. Those are what we call day program students.
And I think you told me there's 12 who come from Catskill right now?
Currently, we have... I think, 11 or 12 referrals, students who are returning and new students that would be identified.
These are students who are bused all the way up to Canaan.
Correct.
From all from Catskill? Or
No. Actually, it's pretty much a 50-50 split. And I just want to be clear, because there's some regulation around this. Pursuant to requirements that disabled students be placed in least restrictive educational environments, the 10 or 12 students that would be identified from Hudson and Catskill are referred to Berkshire only after they've been unsuccessful in their home school and or Questar 3. Okay. Questar 3 has various special
right.
education
so,
programs.
Hold on a second. You call them disabled. Explain to the listeners what you mean by disabled. You're not talking about physical disabilities.
No, not physical disabilities.
Right.
Berkshire Union Free School District is approved to serve students with disabilities who could be learning disabled, emotionally disabled, or what's known as OHI, other health impaired. And
okay.
it could be a variety of things. But we do not serve any students with physical disabilities.
Right. So to make it clear, there are roughly 12 students divided equally between Hudson and Catskill who are bused every day from down here up to Canaan.
Correct.
Which is almost an hour trip for them.
Yeah, and it's even longer for Catskill.
And these students would form the core of the Bridge program, which is what we're
well, actually,
here
it's,
about.
It's, to be frank and clear, it's two distinct programs that would be located at one location. And that's where we get the economy of scale. That's where it becomes very wise to leverage existing resources. Catskill and Hudson are already contracting with Berkshire. Those rates, you asked a financial question.
Mm-hmm.
The tuition rate for a student with disabilities is set by the state. So that is money that's already been budgeted. And in addition to that, local school districts receive what's known as high cost aid from the state the following year. So that's money already budgeted, money already spent, and money already being reimbursed. So when the two superintendents approached me about what else can we do, I threw out the idea of combining programs in a single location, because Berkshire is already staffing faculty
for those 12 students.
Exactly. So Berkshire faculty, we have the benefit of recruiting and hiring what are known as dual certified teachers.
Explain what that is.
Teachers,
please.
Yeah, absolutely. Teachers that hold special education certification and a core content, math or English, science, social studies. That makes them extremely valuable. They have more skills. They can teach more classes, because the students with disabilities absolutely have to have a teacher that has a certification of special education. But at the end of the day, especially with middle and high school students, math teachers need to teach math. And this is a model Berkshire went through 2 years ago, and we believe it's the most effective way to educate these students. It's certainly the most cost-effective, because you have one individual holding two certifications. Otherwise, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to have what's known as a self-contained model, where the 8, 10, or 12 students will be in one classroom all day with one teacher. Well, I purport it's very difficult for one individual to teach the high school content areas at a high quality level. But also, if you go the converse, that math teachers need to teach math, and you provide a content teacher for each of those teachers, now you also have to have a second adult in the room, which is not cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
So by having the dual certified teachers who are working with the 10 or 12 Hudson and Catskill students already at our Canaan location, that expense is encumbered. The schools are already paying the tuition by a rate that's set by the state,
mm-hmm.
and it's being
reimbursed
at a high cost rate.
Excuse me.
So what we decided to do was to look at all the evidence in the research that says, okay, whom should we target? And what is the key elements to that? So an alternative learning program is an alternative to the traditional model in your high school. So I'll cite some research here.
Well, before you do that, can I the second group that we're talking about for the Bridge program, how are the students identified for that program?
Well, that's what I was going to get to.
Oh, okay.
No problem. Ninth grade has been identified as the most critical point to intervene and prevent students from losing motivation, failing, and dropping out of school. And a study found, a five-year study related to factors of dropout in the city of Philadelphia, the greatest risk of dropping out is in ninth grade, followed closely by 10th grade. So what the other two superintendents have done is, working with their middle school or junior high school principals and guidance counselors, is identifying those students that would be most at risk. Mm-hmm. It could be truancy. It could be poor attendance for other reasons. It could be school phobia. It could be just some students do not function well in a larger school environment with hundreds of kids walking around. So what we also found that in from a...
So those would be identified then by their teachers. Who
guidance counselors.
Guidance
would be
counselor informs the...
Internal decisions.
The principal, the superintendent.
Yep. I mean, typically the superintendent would not be involved in something like this. Those are questions for both Superintendent Suttmeyer and Farrell from Hudson mm-hmm. and Catskill. But it's my understanding that it's been at the ground level, where the adults working closest with the kids would be able to personalize and say that this young man or this young lady would benefit from a smaller learning environment. Because, from the Chicago Public Schools large-scale study, failure and absence rates were also better in schools with substantial personalization in classes compared to those with little personalization. For example, depending on contract and course loading and the numbers of students assigned, the typical high school teacher will work with anywhere from 120 to 160 students. Well, the faculty at the Columbia Green Partnership Academy is going to work between 50 and 60. So we've significantly reduced the amount of students they're going to work with without increasing any costs, because we're locating two programs at one site. And already by statute and law, there's a fixed rate for those students with the reimbursement following it. So it's at a minimal additional cost to educate those 45 students that would be at risk of being successful. So what we've identified is students who are at risk of being successful in ninth grade. So what Hudson and Catskill have also done is looked at students who demonstrated a lack of success at the ninth grade. So that's
now,
the two
are
cohorts
these,
we're
Are looking these
at.
Students who generally were doing all right up to the ninth grade?
Quite frankly, I couldn't speak to that. Mm-hmm. May or may not. But it, you know.
So in other words, you know what I'm getting at. In other words, there's plenty of research, as you know, of the larger root causes of student failure, and of course that's the number one determinant factor is living a life of poverty or single parenthood or whatever. And of course, this program is trying to catch students at a later level.
Yep.
But of course, if it hasn't caught them, I mean, is there any coordination with programs that begin at an earlier stage?
We have not researched anything mm-hmm. into doing that and designing our program, because we knew who our target population right. was mm-hmm. to this point. I'm quite certain each district has their particular mm-hmm. interventions earlier on.
So
They could be chronically, or from my own personal experience, when I worked in Stillwater, I was the assistant principal of a 512 building, mm-hmm. and kids were doing fine. They were doing great. And then they hit ninth grade, and they fall apart.
Right.
So there's a variety of other maturation factors that go into that.
Right. We were talking about that earlier. Yes. There is a kind of separate issue that happens with students, aside from those kind of core issues that mm-hmm. I was talking about, that at a later stage they can also kind of fall off. Excuse me again. They kind of fall off the track because of, they're 12, 13, 14, and as we both know, we've been there.
Yep, exactly.
And it's very distracting and very hard. Now, so this, you're calling it the Columbia Green
Partnership
Academy.
Yes.
With a maximum of 60 students, or roughly.
Well, roughly. I would say a little bit less, but yeah.
That includes the 12 who are already identified.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the sake of... the people who are might be concerned about this locally. What is the ethnic makeup of the current 12? Do you have any idea? I mean, is it?
I'm pretty sure the minority population is in the minority of the 12.
Okay. Yeah. So to translate that, you mean it's not primarily black students or ethnic students of any kind. So just because I know that's going to be the... one of the big unspoken issues involved here in Hudson about the population who will be attending this program. That's not your concern, I know, but we'll talk about that in the second half of the show, because there is a lot of concern about the students being on Warren Street in a very in the sort of the center of the business district. We'll leave that aside to the second half because I know that's not your concern. In fact, I believe you told me this is a 2-year experiment at that location.
The lease is for 2 years. What we'd like to do, I mean, obviously we're planning on success. Failure is not an option for these kids, Tom. And there's no disrespect to the Hudson City School District or Catskill. These issues are prevalent all over the place. Quite contrary, I want to applaud Superintendent Suttmeyer and Farrell because this is out of the box. What we're attempting to do is have three distinct school districts collaborate resources, leverage existing monies and budgets to maximize an innovative program for the kids most needing it. So it's not, you know, this is not, these aren't throwaway kids. This isn't something that we're a place to hold them. This, we're going to have an innovative program where they're going to be learning workforce readiness skills. They're going to be matriculating to the next grade. So what we're, the goal is, if we, you know, we plan on being successful, well, we already know there's students following them that will have the same issues. So this is not a 2-year program for them to find themselves and then to just shoehorn them back into their community school. It could be a variety of options for them. They may be continue to be a Columbia Green Partnership Academy student and then participate in a Questar 3 CTE program in the afternoon as a junior or senior or what have you. But what we're focusing on doing is creating an environment where they can be successful, a smaller learning community where the student has a sense of belonging.
Is there any parental involvement in these programs?
Well, Berkshire has appointed a day program coordinator, and also Hudson City School District has assigned a principal. And those two gentlemen will be
Mr. Gavin.
Mr. Gavin, yeah. And Mr. Calbflesh will be the two gentlemen overseeing the program. And there's going to be truancy prevention interventions in place, reach out to the families. As I said, there's some curriculum to prepare these students for entry-level work, working with the families and the students and local communities about, you know, getting these kids to work.
I guess what I'm also asking is, has there ever been sort of a self-identification in these programs where a student or his parents reach out for the program?
I know of at least two. So,
So it does happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's encouraging.
Yes. Yep.
So the potential for this program to grow is great.
We're hoping so.
Okay, here's the cynical question.
Sure.
Is there any chance that the superintendents of both school districts are happy to get these students out of their program, out of their main school programs, in order to satisfy statistical?
Absolutely not, because they're still
counted
their
in.
Students.
Are they still counted in the same assessments?
Yes.
Okay, that. Sorry for even asking.
It's okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And you know, contrary, I'll put it out there. The Berkshire Union Free School District is, in partnership with Berkshire Farm, created this Twombly Leadership Academy, this program specific to students referred by the Committee on Special Education at the farm, housed in a separate location, educated in a separate location. Our graduation rate since 2009 is 100%. Yet, in a state report card, we don't get to take credit for any of it, because the home school gets those statistics.
That's encouraging information for all concerned. I think, and this is a bit of an editorial, that this program, and I encourage you to go online and look up Berkshire, is it Union Free or Free Union?
Union Free.
Union Free School District, and learn about their many programs. And it links to a number of articles about the program, obviously positive articles, but articles that are based in New York State assessments and other assessment groups, overseers, probably we should call them. And it's very hard. I mean, I went, you know, doing the obvious minimal research on the internet and found really no criticism of the school district and its programs.
Thank you.
So, I guess I'm telling that to my fellow Hudsonites who are, you know, worried about what is exactly this program that's coming into our city, perhaps. We'll get to that later. Bruce, I want to ask you if you've had any, is there anything we haven't covered that you'd like to say?
I would just like to add, ultimately, the most important thing, and the reason why we're doing this, is to provide a high-quality, innovative program for these students who deserve it. But we can't overlook the cost savings that is being provided. And by relocating these students to the proposed site in Hudson, the transportation costs for Hudson School District are effectively eliminated as the new site is located on an existing bus run. Catskill will reduce transportation from an average of 50 miles.
Hold you one second. So Hudson is currently paying to bus their six students to Canaan every school day.
Absolutely.
And that can't be insignificant.
Well, the projected savings for the two school districts is going to be over $80,000.
You heard it, Hudson.
Currently, the per pupil cost for a Hudson City School District student is over $18,000 annually, and for Catskill, it's over $16,500. The per pupil tuition to be paid by the districts for a student that would be enrolled in our alternative learning program is approximately $11,000. Berkshire is able to charge at this level because of its staffing patterns and collective bargaining agreement with its teachers. Now, I just want to put out there, we're the Berkshire Union Free School District, but our teachers belong to a union. They are NYSET members. And given that our faculty is dual certified, we enjoy greater flexibility in how we assign our faculty. But combining the programs at one site in Hudson facilitates other efficiencies. Costs for the 10 to 12 special education students from Hudson and Catskill served by us are already in each district's budget and qualified for high cost aid. In addition to their special education assignments.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening.
In addition to their special education assignments, the teachers will be teaching the alternative learning students. So this achieves economies of scale and maximizes the use of existing resources, allowing Berkshire to pass along considerable savings to both Hudson and Catskill.
Well, there you have it. It does sound like a win-win, as they say. I mean, it's benefiting students, it's benefiting our school district, and it's benefiting our pocketbooks, which, as we know, the Hudson School District, our taxes for the school district don't get any lower. Anyway, I'd like to thank Bruce Potter for coming in and explaining what the Bridge Program is. And the second half of the show, we'll be talking to, I believe, a critic as well as a, we'll be talking to Council President Don Moore and Councilman John Friedman and hear what they have to say about how this program will fit into Hudson's future. So while I get them in here, let me just play a couple promos and underwriting notes.
The Prison Voices Project is a radio storytelling program that highlights the voices of those most impacted by the prison system. The show is transmitted on WGXC Hands-On Community Radio, 90.7 on your FM dial. The program covers a wide range of themes and issues around the prison system. To listen to radio that moves between bars, tune in to the Prison Voices Project on the second and fourth Thursday of every month from 10 to 11 a.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM or streaming live at WGXC.org.
Okay, we're back at Issue. I'm Tom DiPietro, and I'm here with Council President, Hudson Council President Don Moore, and Third Ward Alderman John Friedman. Gentlemen, you heard from Bruce Potter, I think, out there. So you now know what the program is.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Hudson want it?
Well, it's...
Or does it?
Well, I can
get right on the
microphone. I think Hudson wants the program. The question is, where do they want it? And, you know, I mean, I personally think it's a very valuable program. I actually talked to Bruce before yesterday about this, so it was not news. I think he added some detail to it. And I think that the, you know, I've spent a little time in education reporting, and on policy issues, and I think that, it sounds like a very well-developed program. The question that we raised earlier is the only location that was available or appropriate for the site.
There's a chance it'll only be 2 years. Is that mitigate the objections at all, do you think?
Well, it's a chance it's only 2 years. I mean, If it's a done deal, then 2 years is great. I think that when I was listening to Bruce Mott, the question that came to my mind is what if indeed, as we've heard, that there it's 2 years, how will they know? Will it be? Is it simply a growth factor that they're looking for?
I think that's what he was suggesting.
Or is there an evaluation that would take place of whether or not the program itself has been successful? I think they would probably do that, but I would like to know that that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Now, John, I know you object to their presence at 364. Can you explain the substance of that objection?
Well, I don't know anything about the pedagogical content of this project or program or what have you. I do know that in the last 18 months, asking rents on Warren Street for retail space and professional space have gone from $12 a square foot a year to $23 a square foot a year. And that's in 18 months. And what we have here is a situation where government is coming into what is, for all intents and purposes, the only sustainable local business district in the county that doesn't rely at all on other communities, with the exception of fresh food, and is all local businesses. We have a Bank of America, which is about to become a Berkshire Bank, relatively local. And we have a CVS on Main Street, on Warren Street. And that's it. Everything else is a local business. Very susceptible to stresses that increase their costs. And what we have in this situation is the government taking 12,000 square feet of usable, productive space off the market that has the effect of reducing supply. As we all remember from our macroeconomics 101, prices will continue to rise as a result. And this will price out existing businesses, and it will lead to a gentrification of Warren Street, which I don't think is in the city's interest or in the citizens' interest.
So you're saying it's not actually downgrading Warren Street, it's making rental prices escalate?
Anything that removes supply has the effect of driving up price. That's how supply and demand work.
Sure. But
and we have a situation where government is going to be displacing private industry and creating
saying, John,
no jobs.
You keep saying government, but it is a private – it is owned by a private entity.
It's a school district.
No. I mean the owner of the building.
You're asking about Galvin. Owning the building.
Well, don't get me started there. Listen, Don is the politician. I'm not a politician. I'm a business person who happens to be on the city council, and I'm not interested in making friends. I am interested in trying to protect my constituents who are merchants on Warren Street and the people who live on Warren Street from being priced out of where they want to be, doing what they want to do. Government did nothing to help them to get there. Everything that's happened here economically in the city has been despite government, not because of government. And I am absolutely outraged.
Have you joined the Tea Party, John?
Absolutely not. I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, but I also believe that we're better off with private industry than public, and particularly in a commercial center. There are other
public entities on Warren Street. It's not as if they're right. You know, there's Co-Arc building. There's the daycare center.
Right. I'd like to see all of that gone. And move to a more appropriate location. The Co-Arc's use of an entire block on Lower Warren Street is outrageous. It doesn't fit into the streetscape, and it doesn't fit into the long-term plan for the city and its growth. But they're there. And so what are you going to do? You can't kick them out. I mean, we can't do things like that. They're there, and so they will be there until it doesn't make sense for them to be there. But,
right.
But this is a different story. This is a problem coming to Main Street where it doesn't belong. It would be perfectly suited just about anywhere else in the city, and I don't have a problem with the program itself. If this is what the experts say these children need, then I say let's give it to them. If it saves the school district money, fantastic, but that shouldn't be the primary concern. But it really exhibits also a lack of enlightened self-interest on the part of the district, because their funding comes in a large part from the property owners. And this will have the effect of hurting property owners in the city of Hudson.
You want to explain why that is?
Well, it's going to force out certain number of small businesses. There's some businesses on Warren Street that wouldn't be able to afford rents higher than $12 to $14 a square foot a year. when their rent, when their leases come up for renewal, they're going to have to make a decision. Are they willing to skirt bankruptcy, or are they just going to relocate? And Hudson's being asked to basically bear that cost and take that risk. And these are our neighbors, and these are the, our neighbors' businesses. And this is how our neighbors pay their rent. It's how they pay their employees. It's how they pay their taxes. It's how they keep up their buildings and their homes. And all of that is being essentially put at risk by this. There's just simply no reason why this needs to be on Warren Street. I think any good reason, let me put it that way.
And I think another thing to recognize that, about Warren Street and about Hudson is that we have become a sort of unique business center, almost a kind of new model of a 21st century mall for Hudson and Greene County and Dutchess County. We have a particular brand, we have a particular character to this business district that should be recognized. I mean, a great deal of the support for these businesses of a proper pay the property taxes that pay the sales taxes come from outside of the city. People coming here to do business here, and we need to have strategies that sustain that and strategies that support it. That Mr. Galloway at this point would think that this is an appropriate use of his space. I mean, yes, he's paying taxes on it. Well, marvelous. But is this an appropriate use of the space? I have to say, I find Mr. Galloway really kind of curious because...
Don't we all?
here's one of the reasons why. Most of the people who come here to do business have invested their money and themselves in a particular place, in a particular business, and they're growing the variety of those businesses, and they don't have a great deal of extra capital around it. They aren't of the particular profile of Mr. Galloway. I cannot call him Eric, even though I've met with him a few times. We don't have that kind of relationship, although that's how he's known all over town. It's a conundrum to me that he hasn't involved himself more in the city. I mean, this is almost like it's as if we have sort of Hudson's Howard Hughes. We have a very, very wealthy individual who could make a great deal of difference, who is reclusive, we would all wish would come out and be more involved in discussions about the future of the city if he wishes to make the kind of investment that he does.
Well, who also has donated $150,000 to this program for their seed money.
I know. He's invested $150,000, but he's also charging $66,000 a year for 2 years for the rental of the space. That's a curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
In practical terms, I can't argue with the fact that he's charging that he's maintaining it as a commercial space, because at least the city would retain the property taxes for the building. It's not taken off the tax mm-hmm. rolls, but it's a curious strategy for a business or a foundation that I don't understand. But maybe just possibly because it hasn't been communicated to us what the
mm-hmm. Well, you're talking about it as a business district, but of course it's also a residential district. As we know, most of the buildings on Warren Street have people living
upstairs.
Well,
it's mixed use. Yeah.
It's mixed use.
Like most cities.
And why can't a school be part of that mixed use?
It absolutely could if there wasn't incredibly intense competition for retail space. I just moved into a new office that it took me 2 years to find on Warren Street. 2 years. I employed two brokers looking for me, and myself, and somebody, another lawyer looking for this space. It took us that long to find viable space. The price wasn't even an issue because there's nothing to compare to. There is no market. Part of my business, I often meet with investment bankers and investors who I bring to Columbia County to look at local businesses for their portfolios and to make investments in. And I pick them up at the train station, and we drive up Warren Street. And almost without exception, they will remark on the fact that this is Main Street is completely occupied. There are no empty spaces. There are no abandoned buildings, except one, Mr. Galway's on the corner of 3rd and Warren, which, frankly, I see as nothing but him flipping the bird to the city of Hudson.
Well,
that's lower
4th and Warren. Has
4th and Warren, rather. Right.
Now, there's also the...
No, 3rd and 2nd.
Yeah.
And you know, that's really what that is. That building is on the main crossroads of the city, the entryway into the city from the south and the west, and our main street. And he leaves that eyesore there, simply flipping us the bird. It's a big, bony middle finger sticking up out of the cityscape.
Okay, yeah. John, I appreciate what you're saying. And the fact that you identified this as government imposing its will on Warren Street, well, wouldn't preventing Galvin to use it this way also be a government imposition on use?
I don't think government should stop it. I don't. I think is going on here is kind of typical of school districts throughout New York State, with the one exception, and that's New York City, where the mayor took control, and so that there's actual accountability to the people. They are of the community but not involved in the community. And you get that when your prior guest was talking about three superintendents, only one of whom is from Hudson. I've never met her, by the way. Mm-hmm. She's never come to a common council meeting, although I have gone to school board meetings. She's never introduced herself to me or anybody I've seen. And I don't know anybody who does know her except Don. They act as if they're here by themselves. And they act as if it's not the property owners and the taxpayers and the businesses of this community that not only fund their highly dysfunctional school district, highly dysfunctional, the third most dysfunctional school district in the state that spends $23,000 per pupil, which is, I believe, three times the state average per pupil, and graduates less than 60% of the total class and less than 40% of minority students in a highly minority populated community. They are essentially bankrupt. Now they prove by being unwilling to communicate with the city and the people who live here that they are also potentially morally bankrupt.
Okay,
it's an
outrage.
Let's
talk about that. The Superintendent Settmeyer, how did she announce to you on the council, either one of you, that this was going to happen? How was this brought to you? This got started.
This controversy got started because we weren't informed.
Was the mayor informed? Do you know?
No. To my knowledge, we were not informed. I think we found out through a newspaper article about 2 weeks ago. This city has had a history of having decisions laid on it, dumped on it by the county. We've both experienced the former mayor's anger at some of the county's high-handedness when they wanted to make decisions about what would happen in Hudson, and frankly, with having heard nothing about this and having it be a fait accompli, yeah, I was angry about it, and it's difficult to separate that. A lack of consideration that was shown for us.
It's typical, and it begs the question why, because it does seem like this is a good program, and it does seem like it makes some fiscal sense from the school district's purely financial analysis. Although, given the way that they manage their business, I would prefer to have, say, an outside auditor look at those numbers before we all jump up and down about saving $500,000. If it was such a great idea, why was it done like this? And let's just be clear so everybody understands what happened. Three superintendents, one of whom represents us, works for us, is paid for us, but doesn't feel the need to talk
to us. By
the
way, us is, as for those who don't know, is not simply the city of Hudson, but certain areas surrounding Hudson that are also part of the school district.
Greenport, Stockport, parts of Taconic.
Claverick,
right, Livingston. Right. So it's large. It's a large district, and it's a diverse district. But there's absolutely no need, apparently, to speak to us. They went to an out-of-district assemblyman. What's his name? Up in Rensselaer County.
McLaughlin. Senator.
He's an assemblyman. Marcion is a senator for this district.
Right.
So they go up to Albany, and with an assemblyman from outside the district, they push this through the assembly, and we never hear from anybody, not our assemblywoman and not this gentleman up in Rensselaer County who does not represent us or our best interest, clearly. And now it's sitting on the governor's desk. So I would urge everybody in the school district, and particularly in the city of Hudson, since you're the only ones who are being asked to pay for this, to get in touch with the governor, who seems to be pretty pro-business, the way he's handling the nanotech issue up in at SUNY Albany, and let him know that you do not support this school in the middle of a commercial district where it's going to have the effect of making your life more difficult.
So you're saying it's not a done deal?
It's not a done deal, but it's being portrayed as that, and I can't even get our local school board member to send me any information on this. They are being completely closed-lipped, and it is an insult, not just to us, and who cares about us, but to the city. Forget the Common Council. Forget the mayor. We're easily forgotten. This is about the people of the city and how the city is treated traditionally and historically by those who think that we're simply a dumping ground. Whether right. it's Eric Galway or the county or, in this case, the school district.
What is actually on the table at the governor's office?
Legislation that Bruce Patton was talking about that expands the authority of the Berkshire Union Free School District to organize and administer the program.
I see.
Yeah. And nobody still. I mean, everything that Don and I have learned and some of the other assembly or council members. I mean, we had a special meeting last night. I was speaking to one of the representatives from the 4th Ward, and she was concerned. And she supports this program, too. But why is it being done this way? Why is, if it's such a great idea, why is everybody keeping the details secret? It stinks. It stinks.
Wait, what details are missing right now, John?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen anything in writing. I don't know. The only thing I've seen in writing is in the newspaper, which in the beginning of the article it said 12 students. At the end of the article, they were up to 25. I've heard 55. I have an email. I guess that's in writing, but it's not from anybody in a position to know. It's from my colleague here who said that's what he had heard.
Right.
But we don't know. You know, there's nothing. They are mismanaging this. It shouldn't be shocking that the Hudson City School District would mismanage this project, since they tend to seem to mismanage just about everything else.
I think that, you know, at this point, I would like to hear from the school district that indeed how serious they are about this project and have them come present it to the city. I'd like to know what its future is. I'd like to know where else they think they, you know, they should put it. If indeed they're saying that this program, yes, it needs to be off the campus. Okay, I buy the fact that there are kids at this particular age who need to have a separate facility. Okay, where else can it be? And if they're saying it's only 2 years, is this really a plan, or is it simply a way of diverting attention from the issue that's being drawn about the current location, not about the program?
And this only 2 year thing is a straw man aspect of this whole conversation, because one, who knows what's going to happen in 2 years? And two, what if it was your business? What if it was your mortgage that wasn't being paid because you lose your business? Because for 2 years, the price of rent in this town escalates faster than it should. I have no problem with government as a landlord. I have a real problem with government as a landlord of first resort. And that's what we have here.
Yeah. So as a local government, you have no actual legal way of preventing this happening. Is that true?
Bupkis.
Yeah, no, we don't. We really don't.
For those not from the downstate area, that means none.
Right.
As John said, it's
private property. The zoning does allow it. We are.
Oh, that was my next question. Yeah. The zoning. There's no.
It is a permitted.
There's
use.
No zoning.
It is a permitted use within the central commercial core, which is Warren Street, which is where this particular project is located.
Right.
And you know, it's just, you know, we have worked very hard to bring some measure of intelligent planning to economic development in the city, and this doesn't look like it.
You could put it on Front Street. There's plenty of space. You could put it on Union Street. There's plenty of space. If you could rehab some buildings, you could put it on my street. Tom and I are next-door neighbors, by the way. I don't have a problem with the school. I don't have a problem with the students. I think if they're really problematic people, they're probably not day program Berkshire Farms right. folks there, resident right. Berkshire Farms folks. Exactly. So, you know, and I'm willing to give a young person the benefit of the doubt. Right. We've all made mistakes. We've all been young and dumb. But this has nothing
to do... Speak for yourself, John.
And some of us are still dumb. And I am speaking for myself. But this just doesn't belong in the location. It is just... We have other spaces. We don't have another Warren Street. And I know that there are people who will say, well, Hudson's more than just Warren Street. Yeah, it is. And a lot of the taxes that would fall on the rest of Hudson don't because of Warren Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Warren Street pays the lion's share of the property taxes in the city. That's just, you know, that's absolutely true. You know, I have to say that if this program had been presented any other way, you wouldn't have found a stronger advocate for it than I am. You know, this is exactly the sort of program that I wish I had had available to me when I was in junior high school. You know, it's, you know, my personal story is that I graduated from high school with not enough credits to go to college because I was tracked very early as someone who was not college material in public school. I know the pain of all this. I understand this. I would love to support this program, and I do support it. It's just, why does it have to be where it is?
What does the superintendent of the Hudson School District have any institutional obligations to the city of Hudson? I mean, did she in any way or shape have to talk to you?
No,
account
but, for herself? But the members of the Board of Education do, mm-hmm. and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. I mean, the structurally, the difficulty between any jurisdiction like ours and a school district is that they have their own elected board, mm-hmm. and in this case, their elected board represents these, as we said, seven jurisdictions, or pieces, parts of some, all of some, and so they operate completely independently of the different municipalities that make up the student body. And that has always been a problem. And indeed, you can't, you know, when you have these different jurisdictions, you know, it's very difficult to have any impact or influence on their decisions. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what percentage is Hudson, the Hudson City students, by any chance?
No, sorry, I don't.
Yeah. I don't either.
Yeah. Probably a dominant percentage, though, no?
No, I'm not no? sure that's
not
the case.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure that's the case because, you know, when you have, what is it? Part of six other jurisdictions. I'm not sure that there would be the number.
I wonder if those other jurisdictions wouldn't in fact be happy with dumping this onto us in Hudson.
Who knows what discussions have happened.
The board doesn't have any. The board is not divided into the various districts, though. I mean, it's.
They're all at large. Right.
So there's a meeting tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Can you, Don, I think you can speak to this. What is that have, can that do it's anything?
It's a meeting of the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission's jurisdiction is to determine whether or not the changes that are happening at that building, are a change of use that they will approve.
Is it also about code issues?
The code is...
Separately.
Okay.
Well, the code, yeah. Separately, yeah. The code stands. We're not talking about changing the code.
Right.
The code issue is that
whether it meets the code.
Having a school in the central commercial district is a permitted use. But what is being proposed is a change of use, and that change of use has to be reviewed and approved by the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission can choose to have a public hearing on this issue, at which the public would have some ability to express itself. The Planning Commission meeting is not a consideration simply on the application for approval of the change of use.
It's an open meeting?
Not. Oh, it's open, definitely, but it's not a public hearing.
There'll be no opportunity for the public to contribute.
That's up to the chairman.
Up to the chairman. Who is?
Donald Tilson? Right.
And who else is on the commission?
Cappy Pirro, Glenn Martin, Laura Margolis,
there's a couple more.
Yeah,
so just
Cleveland,
theoretically,
Cleveland,
Don.
Cleveland Samuels.
Cleveland Samuels.
and Gail Grandinetti. Right.
So hypothetically, Don, if they say it's not a proper...
that it's an improper change of use? Yeah.
Would that effectively block it?
They can't say that.
They can't say that.
No, they can't because zoning, it's a permitted use under the zoning law. So all they can say is whether or not they're going to...
So why in the,
they can talk about the parking, they can talk about, you know, minor issues.
What about for the in terms of the future, have you as council members thought about
I've already
changing the zoning of Warren Street?
Well, maybe, but you know, I'm trying to understand how a city divorces itself from its school district. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a great idea to start a new school district and just jettison the one we have. I'm talking to the attorneys at the New York Council of Mayors. It's probably impossible, but mm-hmm. I don't care. I'll keep trying. But I think there's very little.
Is a charter possibility part of that idea?
Charter. You mean charter school?
Charter school. Yeah.
Charter school is a no. I mean, because a charter school would still be within the bounds of the current school district.
That's right.
So it's not a Hudson school.
Yeah. Right. I just think we need to put this one out of its misery. It's just not doing a good job. It's spending an inordinate amount of money. It's not a sustainable business model that they have. Right. They just asked the citizens of the school district who agreed to increase their levy by 4%, highest, I think, with the one exception in the county. And double the increase, 100% higher than the increase that we had on property taxes. The city's been very careful, thanks to our treasurer and the mayor and the common council president who form the board of estimate, who put together the budget. We've been very successful in keeping our property tax levy down, and we didn't increase it at all in this past fiscal year. Hopefully won't have to increase it at all in the coming fiscal year. But the school district at the same time, while selling a declining product into the market, if you will, feels that they have the power to raise their prices. I just don't see this as sustainable. I don't see that the community can continue to support a failing school district indefinitely. Something has to change. Yeah.
Well, there you have it, folks. We're talking about I think we're in general agreement that this is a potentially great program. But for some reason, for a number of reasons, it's ended up in the wrong place. I want to thank John Friedman, Alderman from the 3rd Ward in Hudson.
My pleasure.
And Common Council President Don Moore for joining us today.
Always glad to be here.
This issue isn't over, and as you heard, there are still things you can do. You can contact the governor's office, because despite what you may think, this is not a done deal yet, is what we've learned today. So I want to thank all my guests today. And this has been At Issue with me, Tom DiPietro,